everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, William Morales. And on today's show, I have Nick McCollum from Passive. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about yourself. One of the things I always like to ask someone like yourself, were you always entrepreneurial?
Yeah. I've always had a bit of the entrepreneurial bug. I can remember being a kid and trying to start businesses, services businesses generally, because I didn't really have any products to sell. So I was always interested in trying to, you know, mow lawns for money or do things around the farm. We were an agricultural family, so I was always trying to figure out what was the easiest chores around the farm and how much could I get my parents and my uncle to pay me to do them. So I always had a bit of the entrepreneurial bug, yes.
No, that sounds good. So how did you get into financial planning? What was it that drew you into, especially finance? Because, I mean, you know how important it is in this day and age to have some financial education. How did you come about? What was that aha moment for you?
Yeah, I guess so. For me, my initial introduction to the markets and to investment management in general came when I was in college. So I originally enrolled in a biology degree with my sights set on doing a medical degree afterwards and becoming a doctor. It only took me a few months of studying plant biology and animal physiology to realize that I actually thought all that stuff was pretty boring and it probably wasn't a good career path for me. So what I ended up doing was I went to my academic advisor and I said, what can I switch into that will still allow me to graduate in 4 years, because I didn't want to spend any more time in college than I had to. And she told me that I should do a math degree. So what ended up happening was I did a math degree, and it turns out that a lot of the math, like the good summer jobs and internships for math majors, are in the financial sector. So that summer after I switched my major, I went and worked, did an internship at TD Mutual Funds. And in the same office, we had people doing all sorts of different investment strategies. So in one corner, we had someone doing equities. In another corner, it was fixed income. And in another corner, you might have had something as exotic as synthetics or derivatives. So that was kind of a really good introduction to a bunch of different investing strategies. And I've been hooked on the financial markets ever since.
So do you remember your first investment that you made on your own, not with a, let's say with a client, but on your own? How did that make you feel? Were you nervous or, you know, making that first leap into investing?
Yeah. So I was a big reader of investing forums. So I would go see people post their ideas anonymously on these forums, and I would read about them and kind of learn a little bit about how people did investment research that way. And while doing so, I found an idea for a energy oil and gas exploration company that operated in Israel. And the whole idea of this stock, which was a penny stock, was that it traded cheaper than the actual cash on its balance sheet. So I don't remember the exact numbers now, but let's say the company had $100 million in cash and the market was only valuing it at $50 million. So for every dollar you put in the company, you had, you know, claimed to $2 of cash. So I said, oh, this seems like a no-brainer. This is going to be awesome. So I buy the stock. It goes up 20% or something over the course of a few months. And I'm like, oh, no wonder Warren Buffett's a billionaire. This is super easy. Now, come to find out, after a few more months, the whole thing was actually a fraud and my investment basically went to zero. So I was pretty fortunate in the sense that I ate my humble pie pretty early. And I didn't actually have that much money when I realized how foolish it is to actually invest in individual stocks without doing your research. So for me, you know, being a student, I think I lost like something like $500, but you know, $500 in the grand scheme of things, not the end of the world. It's not like I bet my retirement on it. So it was hard at the time, but in some sense, it was good that it happened early.
No, exactly. And it's funny that you mentioned Warren Buffett, because I'm a big fan of his. And I love, you know, whenever I hear his interviews, he's always talk about reading the company reports and newspapers and magazines. He does like 6 to 7 hours of reading a day. I mean, that's amazing that anybody's dedicated like that. So for you, can you explain what Passive is about?
Yeah, so Passive is a portfolio management tool for individual investors or self-directed investors. The way that it works is, I think the best way to understand it actually is to understand the problem that we're trying to solve. So the initial prototype of Passive was built by one of our co-founders to help solve challenges that he had when he was managing his own investment portfolio. So more specifically, our co-founder, Brendan, he was managing his own retirement account. He was managing his wife's retirement account. And he was also managing a couple of education savings plans for his kids. So he had 4 different portfolios, and he wanted each of those portfolios to be invested slightly differently. So to keep track of all of this, he used a really sophisticated spreadsheet. Now, the spreadsheet did the trick, but it told him what he needed to buy or sell to stay close to where he wanted those portfolios to be. The problem with that, though, was that it was really high touch. It was really labor intensive and had a lot of problems associated with that. So Brendan would have to put in all of his trades and do the calculations by hand. And then once the spreadsheet told him what he needed to buy or sell, he had to actually go back to his broker and execute all of those trades one by one. So very high labor, very high touch. So the solution,
Time consuming, right?
Yes, very, very time consuming. So that's the problem that Passive was built to solve. Passive, right. What it allows you to do is you create a passive account, you link your passive account to your brokerage account, and then you set a target portfolio, which is the mix of stocks and bonds and ETFs that you want to be invested in, along with the weights that you want assigned to each of those investments. So one example of a really simple target portfolio might be something as simple as 50% Apple and 50% Tesla. Now, once that's done, Passive does all of the sophisticated calculations and you know, the mathematics to tell you what you need to buy or sell to get invested in that target portfolio. Once that's done, Passive allows you to rebalance with one click. We send the trades off to your brokerage. They get executed and your brokerage sends us back trade confirmations. And then we'll display where you are after making those trades. Once you get rebalanced for the first time using that one click trade functionality, Passive then monitors your account periodically so that whenever it's time for you to log in and rebalance again, you'll get notified via email.
Wow, that is pretty good. I mean, so you're basically cutting out the time that, like you said, like your co-founder, was it Brendan? Yeah. I mean, because that's time consuming what he was doing. And so obviously this cuts the time, what, by 90%?
Oh, I'd say more than that, maybe by 99%. The whole idea with Passive is that you can spend a little bit of time getting set up on the right foot at the beginning. And then once that's done, your finances are kind of automated, hopefully, for the rest of your life.
Wow, that's great. So is there, can anyone open up a passive account? Is there a minimum to open one?
We don't have account minimums, and we actually don't hold your money directly at Passive. Passive is just a software tool that connects to your brokerage.
Connected to the brokerage, right. So it depends on the brokerage, if they have a minimum or whatever. Okay,
yeah, gotcha. The brokerage we partner with might have minimums. We're integrated with Questrade here in Canada. And then in the United States, we have integrations with TD Ameritrade, Interactive Brokers, Tradier, and Alpaca. We have more integrations coming as well, but that's all that we have right now.
No, but that's pretty good. I mean, because the more people know about this, the more people are going to want to partner with you. If for my audience, can you explain what an ETF is? Because when I looked at your website, you know, you talked about ETFs. Can you explain more about that?
Yeah, so an ETF is an exchange traded fund. You can think of it as pretty similar to a mutual fund if you're familiar with those. So an ETF is a pool investment vehicle where investors come together, they put their money together to be invested by a professional investment manager. And then that ETF trades on a stock exchange, just like a stock. So it can be traded anytime the stock market is open, which is roughly 9 to 5, depending on your time zone.
Right. You know, I was just gonna say,
ETFs are kind of characterized by having really low fees relative to other similar investment vehicles.
Yeah, no. And when I look at CNBC or maybe Bloomberg, I mean, they even dedicate sometimes a few minutes to maybe a segment on ETFs. And I love to hear more about that because it's always about equities and, you know, what the Warren Buffett way or trading. So I don't hear too much about ETFs like I would. So it seems like, you know, going back to your previous point, it seems like you cut out the middleman. And so, you know, investors can pick investments on their own. Can you explain more of that strategy? Like, how did you guys come up with that? During the initial prototyping. Yeah. Thank you.
So we wanted to build something that was like unlike anything that was available in the market already. So we didn't want something that was so hands-off, like a robo-advisor where you don't do anything. But we didn't want something like spreadsheets and doing things manually where you have to do everything. So we wanted to build a tool that investors could use to manage their portfolio exactly the way that they wanted to do, but make it highly customizable, really low fee, and highly automatable. So that's kind of how we set on building Passive the way that it is today. We also want it to be brokerage agnostic, I guess you could say. So what that means is we want people to be able to manage their money at Passive regardless of what brokerage they use. So our goal is to eventually be integrated with all of the major brokerages across the world so that people around the world can save money and time using the Passive software.
No, I agree. Because I think if you got your money in an actively traded fund, I mean, and you know this, Nick, the fees are eaten up over a period of time. I mean, that all adds up over 10, 20, 30 years. I remember Tony Robbins wrote a book about it. I think the
Money Master.
Yeah, yeah. And I loved that book. That was a great, I mean, that woke me up, and I'm pretty sure it woke up millions of people on it. So for you, if you can explain, what are buy only trades? What does that mean?
Yeah. So every time you buy or sell, you usually incur some sorts of fees. So by default, passive only buys to rebalance your portfolio. So what that means is we don't sell your overweight assets to buy your underweight assets. Instead, okay. What we do is we just take your cash and buy your underweight assets. And over time, that will slowly get you closer and closer to your target portfolio.
Is it more of an asset allocation? In other words, you put, I guess it's up to the investor, but do you, or does passive suggest putting some money in equities, some in real estate, and some in bonds? Is that would be the prototypical asset allocation?
Yeah, well, passive doesn't actually provide asset allocation advice to people. In order to use our software, you actually have to feel confident enough, I guess, to be able to select your investments on your own. So that's a bit of a hurdle that you have to come. You'd have to, I guess, self-educate a bit before using us. But I would say, broadly speaking, we at Passive are big fans of the concept of diversification, both across asset classes and also within asset classes. So if you want to own stocks, don't just own one stock, own many, so that you are your portfolio is protected from any bad thing that might happen to a single stock.
Right. Is there any education that Passive offers to users? Is that something that you guys might look into so somebody could get a little bit more educated as they go along? Or you suggest, you know, maybe books they should get or programs they should look at? What would you say to that, especially if someone's brand new or even in their mid-40s that, you know, haven't had the chance to maybe invest in a particular stock or index or ETF? Does Passive maybe down the road would offer the users some education?
Yeah, so our goal as a company at Passive is to make DIY investing accessible to everybody. So to the extent that we can do that by building amazing software, that's what we spend a lot of our energy on. But we're also big in proponents of the idea of empowering investors through education. So we do a lot of that already. We have a pretty robust blog at Passive, and we also publish feature pages and tutorials for all the different ways that you can use Passive to help you save time and money.
Oh, that's great. So what's happening in the world today with the pandemic? Did it affect business in any sense for Passive? And if it did or if it didn't, is there any lesson that you got from what happened?
I think that for us at Passive, we've grown so much as a company over the last year or 2 years that it's really hard to, I guess, disentangle what is just a normal company growth trends versus what's actually been caused by the pandemic. But more broadly, I would say, if you look at the public retail trading volumes that are accessible on things like Yahoo Finance or any public resource like that, the coronavirus pandemic has seen trade volumes kind of go through the roof, which has been good for kind of all the players in the brokerage investing space.
Yeah, because I mean, more and more people are at home, more and more people, like you said, are trying to get educated. I have some of my friends are just working from home now, almost full time. So I think with that happening, I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of years or 6 months, whatever. How do you see the market? I know it's hard to predict. You know, everything is still, you know, pretty well going. Do you see the market somewhat slowing down over the next 6 months to a year? Is that too tough to predict right now?
Yeah, I would say just like personally, and I guess to be in line with our broader philosophy at Passive, it's really, really hard to make accurate market forecasts. So I just personally try to stay away from that to the extent possible and instead focus on the things that we do have control over, such as, you know, dollar cost averaging, systematically investing into your target portfolio and those sorts of things. So I would say my plan right now is basically the same as it always is, and that's just stick to the long-term plan.
I like that. Talk about the dollar cost averaging. If you could explain more of that, because I know the concept, but if you could explain to my audience.
Yeah, dollar cost averaging is an investment strategy whereby you buy the same amount of your investment every period. So that could be every 2 weeks or every month, or whenever you deposit money into your account, you just deposit it all right into whatever investment you're buying. Now, that's a pretty boring investment strategy, but I think it has a lot of benefits psychologically and just like empirically. So the nice thing about dollar cost averaging is that it gives you peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, because when things go up, like when asset prices increase, you know that you already own some of the assets, so you will benefit from those increases in price. Conversely, if asset prices are declining and stocks are going down or whatever investment you're buying is going down, you can also have peace of mind because you know that every incremental dollar that you use to buy more of that asset will actually buy you more of the asset because things are cheaper. So if things go up, you win. And if things go down, you win. And that really allows you to bear some volatility in your investment portfolio.
No, especially right. If you get the dollar cost averaging and just like you mentioned, if the stocks go down, you could definitely buy more shares. Then before you know it, once the market is back up, all of a sudden your portfolio is looking pretty good. So what's next for passive? What are you guys are looking to do in the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, we want to make passive the best place to come to manage your investment portfolio. So for us, a big focus is on launching new brokerage integrations. We're always open to talking to new brokerages to open new partnerships and integrate with more places. So that's a big thing. We're also just trying to spread the word about passive. The people who use our product, they really like it. Our customer satisfaction scores are very high. So we're focused really right now on trying to just get the word out and get more people benefiting from passive so that they can save time and save money when managing their investment portfolios.
No, I think you guys have a unique concept because I'm going to be honest with you. When we got contacted through email and I looked at your website, I'm like, wow, this is a pretty good concept. I never seen this before. So for you, Nick, what do you hope to, besides obviously, you know, to get more customers, to get more brokerages? I guess for my audience, it's always the education part. You know, I want my audience and your audience obviously is to get educated in what they're going to pick and what they're going to learn about investing. Do you see your platform and education going to a different level as you get on in months and years?
Yeah, we would. I mean, we're always going to be publishing on our blog, posting educational material that way. And in the future, we've talked about, you know, launching a personal finance and investing podcast or maybe a YouTube channel so that people can really, you know, come to passive for all of their investor education needs.
No, I definitely agree to that. I think you guys definitely increase the blog, definitely have a YouTube channel, definitely get a podcast because I'll definitely be a listener. So I mean, first of all, Nick, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I really appreciate that. This is something new. I never heard of this before. And this is a unique concept. Before I let you go, just a couple of things. Any books you would recommend for would-be investors?
I would recommend The Warren Buffett Way by Robert Hagstrom. It's a book about the way that Warren Buffett selects his stocks and other investments. And I think it's just a really great piece of investigative journalism that relies on case studies to teach you how the best investor of all time operates. I think it's important to know going into that you're probably not going to have the investing acumen of Warren Buffett, but his philosophies and his investment strategies are pretty widely applicable. And I think any investor would benefit a bit from reading that book, even if you don't want to be the next Warren Buffett.
And I want to add to that. I had bought his book, The Interpretation of Financial Statements, that he, I think it's maybe his former daughter-in-law or someone like that wrote it. And that's a great book. I mean, it talks about what he looks for in a financial statement, an income statement. And it's such detail. I mean, it's 50 chapters, Nick, but you could probably read it in one day because, I mean, it's like pretty much almost like one or two pages per chapter. And I think that'd be a great book for any audience to learn. So we got the Warren Buffett Way, and I definitely recommend The Interpretation of Financial Statements. So, Nick, if somebody wanted to contact you, what's the best way?
Yeah, if you want to learn more about passive, the best place to go is to our website. It's passive.com. That's PASSIV.com. There's no E on the end of passive. And if you have specific questions or just want to contact me directly, or even if you'd like a demo of the software, send me a direct email. My email is nick.mccullum@passive.com.
Nice. Sounds good. Well, listen, first of all, Nick, again, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I really, really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much. Well, everyone, that was Nick McCullum, and you can find him at passive.com. That's PASSIV.com. Nick, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. You can find me at peertopeerrealestate.com. That's peer2peerrealestate.com. Check out our past shows and check out our blog. Also, if you could go to Apple Podcasts, look for us on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, there's a couple of more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it. Guard it. Protect it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. On behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate, I'm Willie Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and please stay safe. Bye.